about how to keep it real in relationships, and I'm going to talk about this for the next month or so. And how many of y'all get mail to your house? Is the mailman perfect? No, they just deliver the mail. I said that for a reason. I am not perfect. So I'm going to preach on relationships. My wife is sitting right here. I'm hoping she don't cut her nails and nothing like that doing what I'm preaching. But I'm going to deliver the mail. I'm going to live it out to how to keep it real in relationships. And I'm going to give you things to do that I believe will really help you out. I think one of the best tools, I was at a pastor's conference and he told us, he said one of the best things you can do for people is to help them understand each other. Because I want to tell you something. I'm not just talking about marriage, but men and women are different. Can I say that again? Men and women are different. Not only are men and women different, people are different. And listen, I'm not the person I was 5 years ago. So you got to give people room to change. The whole basis of my connection with God, we did communion in the ghost, through my covenant through Jesus, based on relationships. Here's what I believe. I believe relationships don't fail for a lack of love. I believe they fail for a lack of doing things in love. Good people fall out every day. Can I say it again? Good people fall out every day because we don't do things in love. And here's what else I learned. When God gets ready to birth the future, he births a relationship. You are normally your safest and your healthiest in relationship. When you are connected to people. When you pull away from people, Satan puts all kind of things in your mind. People don't understand you. They don't like you. All this kind of stuff like that happens when you pull away from relationships. Matter of fact, your longevity in life is connected to relationships. Longevity here. People who know people stay longer. You don't know people, just ain't nothing, ain't a vestibule out there. Might as well just leave when you walk out. So just people leave quicker when you don't know people. I want to challenge you this month to get to know people and learn to build relationships, because here's what I know. Relationships open as many doors as gifts do. The Bible says your gifts shall make room for you and bring you before great people. Relationships do the same thing. I got my first job, second job, probably several jobs because of who I knew. And who I knew was able to give me a connection. I want to challenge you here. Do not burn bridges. Look at your neighbor and say, don't burn bridges. Build them. Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things you do. Don't burn. You never know when you're going to need to walk it again. Yeah. So here's how to keep it real in relationship. The first, I'm going to use R-E-A-L. First one, respect. Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says this, and I can almost say amen. It's, anyway, amen. It says, treat others the same way you want to be treated. Oh, yeah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Amen. That's the most simple thing I can say, but if we can get that point down, many of us are rude, all right. Arrogant. We disregard the opinions of others. We don't follow anybody's rules but our own. And we justify our rude, arrogant, disrespectful actions by the actions of others. Yes. Here's the honest truth. As a Christian, I don't get to act rude, arrogant, or disrespectful because somebody treated me that way. The basis for my action is not your action. It's the Bible. And the Bible tells me, it says, pray for those who despitefully use you. It says, bless those who curse you. The basis of my action is the Bible. I respect every person. I have to. Because the Bible says this, we respect by showing care, listening, being attentive, showing interest in something outside of our own agenda. Barbara and I were having a great marriage discussion. Hey, buddy. Barbara and I were having a great marriage discussion the other day. And life is busy for us. I don't know. Anybody got a busy life? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's busy. She's in school full time. She's working full time. I have church. We have various things going on. And we were just having a discussion. And I told her how I felt about where we were. And she listened, rubbed up beside me on my shoulder. And she's told me, and now she listened to me. And then she began to tell me what she thought about where we were. I wasn't ready for that. And I did what most men do, and I said, well, I don't see it that way. That's not necessarily the way I see it. And she said, well, we through talking then. And in the moment, the Holy Spirit convicted me. And he said, you can't do that because she's not married to herself. Most of us only talk about what we care about. And just because it didn't register with me doesn't mean I could check out from the conversation, nor did that mean the conversation was over. Because it was important to her. Yes. I had to put all my little feelings and all my emotions. Normally, I have about three words I say when people talk. Sure. What? Shut your mouth. Get out of here. And I'm going through these same words over and up. What? Shut your mouth. Get out of here. And she's just talking. She's just talking. People who love to talk, you do that. I love to talk to people. People are doing me the same way. But in that moment, I owed her the respect, because here's the truth. In order to get respect, you got to sow respect. And I couldn't sow dishonor and expect to receive honor. She's not married to herself. Just like she paid attention to me, I ought to pay attention to her. And that's what respect looks like. Respect is mutual understanding. Here's what I have learned. God doesn't treat you based on how I feel about you. Your confidence is not based on my opinion of you or anybody's opinion of you. You are who God says you are. That settles it. When God gets ready to bless you, he don't consult nobody else. He has you in mind, and he does what he wants to do in your life. Now, with that in mind, I have to understand this about respect. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's wrong. The whole world could dislike you. It don't mean that God don't like you. He's not going to bless you. When we don't like things, we tend to rule them off as wrong. Any of y'all eat crab legs in here? God bless, y'all probably strong. Man, we went to Tunica. I did a wedding in Tunica, so I stayed in the casino. I did. And it was the experience of my life. And they had, you know, they had those, the food. They had the buffet bars. And Isaiah loves seafood. And Barbara wasn't with us. And I took Isaiah, my parents. And he said, Daddy, can you open these for me? Man, I was opening them things. That's too much work to get the food. Ain't enough meat in there for all that work. No, that's too much work. And I said, we ain't eating crab legs no more. I never ate them in the first place. But because I didn't like them, I put that on him. How many times in life did we put our dislike for something on other people? I don't like them, so you shouldn't like them. Just because you don't like them don't mean I can't be their friend. Don't mean I'm disloyal to you. I may like them. You just don't. You all right in here? My preference is not the standard for the world. I grew up in church. I love choirs. We had a great choir. I love shouting. I love different gifts of the Spirit. Everybody didn't grow up that way. And I can't say that's the ultimate way church should be, because some of you didn't grow up that way. Some of you grew up with hymn books. Some of you may have grew up in various settings where you didn't have music. My standard does not rule the world. What makes the world great is that all of us get to come together with all of our different personalities, all our diverse upbringings, and we get to be raised in certain ways. Some of you were raised up where your mom threw down and she was your big mama, your mama cooked, and that's all you knew. Some of you, your mama did not cook. Your daddy was the one to cook. And now you bring that expectation into relationships, marriage, all this stuff like that. Let people be who they are. Touch your neighbor and say, let me be great. Respect requires this, and I'll move on. You got to disagree without being disrespectful. There were some things I adamantly disagree with, but it doesn't give me the right to disrespect you because I disagree with it. We live in a day and time where all kinds of things are going on, and you're going to have to learn to love people without being disrespectful, because your message will never get across being disrespectful to anybody. But when you respect people, it earns you the right to speak into their life. Here's a question I want to ask you before I move on. Ask yourself this all the time. How does what I'm doing or saying impact others? And would I like it if it was done to me? If people treated me the way I'm treating them, would I like it? That's the end of the day. That should answer your question. The next thing is this. You got to encourage. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. You got to speak life into others, and you got to be careful who you allow to speak their life into you. Because a lot of the problems we face are because of some of the people we embraced. You got enough problems on your own to take on somebody else's problems. You got to learn how to differentiate with, like, that's not necessarily me. You got to speak life into people in terms of where they are going, because encouragement is not about you, it's about the other person. When was the last time that you honestly sit and listen to somebody about what's going on with them? Not in lieu of anything going on in your life, but let me hear what you think about this. Encourage people. And there are times, can I talk to somebody in here? You got to preach to yourself and encourage yourself. There are times you got to stand in front of the mirror and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You look good today, brother. You're going out there. Walk with swag. Walk with confidence. Do everything God says do. Because there comes a time when if nobody's cheering you on, you got to cheer yourself on. You got to say, you got this. I don't care what has happened in your life. Your past does not define you. This is the day the Lord has made. Go out there and be great and rejoice and be glad in it. Anybody ever had to preach to yourself before? When nobody around, you had to look yourself in the face and say, you got this. You got to encourage others. And there's times you got to encourage yourself, because encouragement, when you do it for others, is not about you. It's about them. It's about where they are in life. I know you've walked certain paths, but help them to locate where they are, because this is what encouragement, real encouragement does. It lights a fire on the inside of them. It makes them want to be great. It makes them want to be what God's called them to be. Encouragement will cause you to put down addiction. It'll cause you to put down dysfunction in your life and pick up life. Why? Because somebody encouraged me to do so. And encouragement is this. Encouragement redirects behavior. When you encourage people, you get them to switch from blame to responsibility. Because blame has never solved the problem. But responsibility puts you in the driver's seat. I was going through a situation on my job, and I told my dad, I said, hey, this guy's giving me a hard time. And I was ready for my dad to just maybe drive up there with me, and we're going to pay the little guy a visit or something. He asked me a question. He said, Jason, why doesn't he like you? He said, people just don't like people for no reason. I didn't tell him the first service, but when I figured out why he didn't like me, it wasn't that he didn't like me. He felt like they were going too easy on me. His job, his career path was not as easy as mine. He felt like I didn't have confidence to be where I was. It wasn't that he didn't like me. He wanted me to do better. But if my dad would not have encouraged me and would have co-signed with my behavior, I would still be struggling with certain things. Because here's what happened. When you don't encourage people the right way, we smuggle our issues into our future. Here's what happens with many of us. We only tell one side of the story. We only tell our side and how it looks to us. And we get people to pat us on the back and just cry with us and feel bad for us. And when they do that, we got people on our side, but we still have our issue. And what happens is, you know, when people smuggle stuff, it's something illegal. We take illegal stuff into our future, and we have to deal with it over and over again. And watch this. We end up living a life of reruns instead of being in prime time. Y'all know what prime time is. Prime time is what Shonda Rhimes is capitalizing on now. Prime time is I can't wait for the new season for the 911 to come out. Prime time is new stuff coming out. Reruns is the same stuff over and over again. And if I got reruns in my life, I can't blame nobody else because I'm the same one playing the same song over and over again because I have decided to smuggle my issues into my future. But encouragement says there's more hits in you than you ever seen. Encouragement says there is greater in you than he that is in the world. Encouragement says, don't you stop right there. You keep going because I got to shift from blame to responsibility. Who is it in your life that you're coddling? And when you coddle them, they smuggle their issues into their past because it's not ever addressed and their life is stuck on reruns. And when you're stuck on reruns, you blame everybody else except for the one starring in the show. Am I making sense? If I'm going to star in something, I want it to be something new. All right. Because here is the challenging part, and I know I'm belaboring this point. Many of us will create drama, star in it, and blame everybody else for it. Oh, we will. But here's the reality. I got to encourage myself, and I got to encourage others. There's life past where we are right now. The next thing is this. Maybe it ain't a preaching point right here, but it's going to be all right. You got to address, keep it real, respect, encourage, then you got to address disappointments. Be honest about yourself to others. We live in an age where we have access to so much information. My 11-year-old son is articulating words that I didn't know until I was in college. Man, you think about now, we have such access to information that we are smart individuals who have never been through half the stuff that we've seen. As a preacher, it's easy for me to watch YouTube and every preaching channel and preach stuff that I never experienced. I used to do that in my younger years. And I say stuff like, I've been talked about. I've been mistreated. I've been buked. I ain't been through nothing. I got a C in calculus. That's about much I've been through. And I'd be preaching up there and everybody say, won't he do it? And I'd be like, yeah, he do it. But it was when I actually went through something that was weight in my words. But there was many people we know how to articulate everything about everybody, but we can't articulate our heart. You got to allow yourself to be vulnerable with people. Here's the challenge. When most of us are talking to people, people can't really pinpoint us because here's the truth. And many of you can testify to this. We don't put all of our cards on the table. We tell parts of the story, but the linchpin in it, we really don't put on the table. My 40th birthday, Barbara said, Jason, it's 40th. We got to do a party. And I said, I don't want no party. I don't want to celebrate. I ain't into all that stuff. That wasn't the truth. It wasn't until about a week or two before I said, hey, let's go out to eat. And we invited some people out. And she said, we should have did this 2 weeks ago, or a month or so ago. Do you know why I didn't want to celebrate? Because I wasn't happy about turning 40. I thought at 40 I would be further in life than what I was. I thought 40 life would look different. I thought my situation would be different. It wasn't that I was not unhappy with her. I was unhappy with myself. And I never told her that. And you owe it to the people who love you to articulate where you are because nobody is anointed to read your mind. We can walk around and just stomp around the house like James Evans. Nobody knows what that means. Nobody knows what it means when you go silent and there's stuff going on inside of you. Listen, you are changing. Your dreams that you had 2 years ago, life happened. You have kids. Things didn't work out here, and you got to shift and redirect. You got to talk to the people you're connected to and say, this is where I am right now. Even at the sake of it being embarrassing, even at the, man, it could be something inside of you that you said, man, this is going to make me feel real awkward. Do it. Because you're expecting people to operate you with you on a love level, and you're not putting everything on the table. Here's what I learned. James 5:16 says this. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Here's what I've learned. Many of us are vulnerability away from breakthrough. If I'm vulnerable with somebody and I confess my fault, not everybody. Stop. Wait a minute. Let me back up. You can't tell your stuff to everybody. Because if I tell her, I don't want him repeating it. And the only way for him to find out is because she told him. You got to find somebody. And that him was my father right there. No. You got to find a person that you can be confidential with, that it stays with them. And when I am vulnerable with you, you can, as scripture, you can pray for me. And because you are righteous in right standing with God, your prayer will avail much. And here's what I found out when you're finally honest about certain things in life and say, you know what, I shouldn't be doing this, but I like doing it, and it's going to ruin my life, or I need help with my attitude. I need a financial breakthrough, but I am not good with money. When you are honest about where you are, somebody can pray for you, because the way God designed it, you can't do this thing by yourself. I know you're smart, strong, you're good looking, you got all these degrees, you got all this stuff, but you can't do it by yourself. Give a prime example. I get to talk to a lot of sports teams, and I ask them, who's the strongest guy in the room? And the guy normally lifts his hand, and I say, how much can you bench press? What's your max? He'll normally tell me his max. And I say, can I ask you a question? Would you max out by yourself? Absolutely not. Why not? I may drop it on my neck. I may break my shoulder. I'll never max out by myself. And I say, can I ask you a question? Is life heavy? Absolutely. Why are you trying to live it on your own? Life is too heavy to do it by yourself. I got this. I'm good. Really? Vulnerability with the right people is in this scripture. You pray for one another and you'll be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me get the next point where I'm going. Not only you got to be honest with yourself about to yourself and about yourself to others, but you got to be honest with people about themselves. I am certain, can I be honest with you guys? As a leader, I'm sure I've disappointed many of you. I'm sure perhaps, man, I go in a million directions. I may have said we're going to do something and forgot all about it. It's not because I meant to hurt you. Over the course of being human, you hurt people. When you put expectations on people, people get hurt by people all the time. And when these opportunities, do you know why they go unaddressed? Because we don't address them. Here's what happens. Do you know how you normally find out that you've hurt a person? You find out because they leave. You find out through somebody else who they told. Or you can look on their face or the way they answer your questions. The way to address disappointments with others. Y'all ready? Here goes. You got to address it. You got to address it with them. Not everybody else. Not social media. You got to go to them. You got to be honest with the person about where you are. It's in scripture, Matthew 18 and 15. Are you guys ready for me? You ready for the scripture here? It said, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Watch this. Between you and him. Did I make that up? You and him. All right. And it says, if he hears you, you have gained a brother. But if he will not hear you, you will take one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be like a heathen or a tax collector. Here's how you address disappointments. Number one, it says you go to that person by yourself. How easy is it to talk yourself out of going to somebody? Child, if I go to them right now, they will not make it. You don't understand. I'm going to get, if I go to them and talk to them, it is over. That I'm going to hurt them so bad, they're going to want to just jump off a bridge. That's the enemy talking you out of having an honest conversation. You got more control of your emotions than you ever imagined. Married couples, look at me. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all going to be going at it. No, you crazy. You doing this, you doing that. Phone rang. Hey, how you doing today? You change on a dime. Just like that. Y'all know, y'all laughing because you know I'm telling the truth. But notice what the scripture says. If your brother sins against you, you go to him. Wait a minute. If he hurt me, why am I going to him? Pride says he got all that Holy Ghost. Why don't he know? He doing all that praise and Bible reading. Here's what I learned. Most of the people who hurt you, they didn't do it intentionally. And they don't know you're hurt as bad as you hurt because you ain't told them. That's why they going on. Look at them. They going on vacation. It's a shame. They think God blessing them. They done me the way they done me. And they don't have no clue. You sitting there just angry. You looking at their posts like, I can't believe this. I ain't liking none of them. And they have no clue. He said this. The scripture says this. If you have an ought against your brother, don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them by yourself. You know how big that is? To go to somebody and say, listen, when you did this, this is how you made me feel. Or it hurt me when you do this. When you did this. Own it. Don't put it on them. Put it on, this is how it made me feel. And if they don't hear you, here's what the Bible says when you're addressing disappointments. It said, take witnesses with you. Let me clarify this. Witnesses are not your ride or die. Say, all right, we're going to war today. Who is it? That is not a witness. Can I get a witness? Not that one. Let me tell you what that witness is. That word witness, if you look it up, the New Testament is written in Greek. And if you look at how witness is translated in Greek, it's the same word for martyr. Martyr for what? It's this, Acts 1 and 8. It's the same word, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That word witness is somebody who identifies with the truth. So when you're going to them with two or three people, you're not taking your people to just go, we're going to ride out on this one. You probably need to leave them at home. Unless they can be objective. A witness is a person who identifies with the truth. They're not on your side or they're not on their side. I know this is tough, but it's Bible. Take people who will correct you when they're wrong, correct them when they're wrong, because their whole point is not about who's right, it's not about who's wrong, it's about the truth in this situation. Two or three people who identify with the truth. The Bible says if they won't hear them, bring them before the church. Now, we're not going to have Jerry Spring on Sunday morning, and y'all going to sit up here and argue. That's not what it's talking about. It says go to the leadership of the church. Find me or find someone in leadership of the church, and you all talk it out. Because watch this, if you don't address it, it gives room for division. It gives room for bitterness. It gives room for the enemy to come in. And here's what I've learned. Sharks love blood. And you will attract the wrong people who will put their disposition and their demeanor on you who don't see good in situations. And if you'll watch this, you'll find yourself in dysfunctional groups. And all y'all will do is talk about problems. And I told y'all last week, God doesn't talk problems. God talks promises. And you'll find yourself out of faith. And next thing you know, your spirit is messed up. Your heart is messed up. You're bitter. You don't like anybody. You just messed up on the inside because the wrong people are fed into you. The right people in your life are the people who lead you to confront things head on. You all right in here? All right. The last thing is this, loyalty, and I'm through. Respect, encouragement, address disappointments. The last one is loyalty. Proverbs 17:17, I love the scripture. It says a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Loves at all times mean you stuck with me. I'm going to ride or die with you. I'm with you to the end. It means I'm not going to throw you under the bus when it's convenient for me. It means I'm going to ride with you to the end, but watch this. I'm not going to deny the fact that you have issues. Many of us have loyal people who just ride with us, but they don't confront the dysfunction in our lives. If I'm going to ride with you and I'm loyal with you and I'm going to love you at all times, love is not always just great words. Sometimes the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. I thank God for people who have told me the truth. I may not have liked you for about a week, but I thank God for you after that. Here's the challenge that I've learned, and it's hard. I'd rather be liked, rather be respected than liked. When I have compromised my character, when I've compromised my integrity, when I've not stood up and been bold, it's because I wanted to be liked. When you are respected, people believe, they believe in you. They say, I may not like you all the time, but thank you for being honest with me. Because what's going to get me further in life is not likes. It may get you popular on Facebook, but what's going to get you far in life is respect. Loyalty. You got to love at all times. Now watch this. Loyalty defends each other, but it confronts errors when you walk through tough situations. I am the pastor of this church. Barbara is my wife. But here's what I do not expect. If I am wrong, if I talk to somebody wrong, if I do something out of the way wrong, Barbara's my wife and she got my back, but I don't expect her to co-sign with my mess. What's going to give her respect? He said, Jason, I love you. You're the pastor of this church, but you were wrong when you talked to them that way. Many of us, we are, I got you. No, that's my husband. Don't you do that. Don't let nobody talk about him. But at the same time, you got to be honest with them about where they are. I love Barbara with everything I got in me, but watch this. If she's right, celebrate it. But if she's wrong, baby, I love you, but you're wrong. No, that you didn't address that the right way. Many of us take loyalty to a perverted stance. You got friends that you loyal with, and perhaps they're in jail or crazy situations. You free such and so, and they done killed 10 people. They let them out, they're going to kill 10 more. No, I'm serious. You can't co-sign with people's dysfunction because you're loyal. You got to address that. Here's where it's real. Many of us, this is why I felt convicted. We were in a training for the past 2 days, and I have seen controlling, abusive, dysfunctional relationships that we thought was cute. I don't know what we thought it was, that was never addressed in dating relationships. That you defend them because that's your boy, or you defend them because we cool. And the reality is you may have been cool, and I'm not going to let the world run you down. Yeah, I got your back at all times, but at the same time, bro, that's crazy. You can't pick her up by the throat and throw her. Like, you can't take her keys where she can't go nowhere. It's serious. You can't take her keys and we go out and she's stuck at home and think that's fine. Oh, girl, you can't go in a restaurant, flip his plate over because he out with somebody else. Leave. I mean, I probably shouldn't say that strong. But if you're going, you tear up the restaurant. But no, you're taking yourself down to a level. I got you, girl. If you got them, keep them on a certain path. Here's a reality about it. There's certain proclivities. I know within myself, I'm a very laid-back, nice guy until I get mad. And when it takes me a lot to, get to that point, but when I get to that point, it's hard for me to come back. She knows that. She knows that. She's the opposite. I tell her I'm going to have nephew Tommy pray call her one day because I want to record it. But watch this. Loyalty is this. Here's the truth. Loyalty is this. She says, Jason, you're letting it go too far. That's why you exploded. And I'll tell her, Barbara, you didn't let it go long enough. Let patience have its perfect work. It takes a balancing act. Because if you don't have somebody to de-escalate you in a situation, you'll be in these streets looking a fool. Loyalty is this. A friend loveth at all times. I'm going to love you if you go through the worst. I'm not going to leave you. There are some people that will leave you because of their affiliation with you. They're afraid that will make them look bad. I am not going to disassociate with anybody because you do something I don't agree with. Listen, I was down with you before I ever had an affiliation. You all right in here? So I'm going to stick with you regardless of what's going on. But sticking with you doesn't mean I turn a blind eye to the dysfunction in life. A brother was born for adversity. It means we ride through it. We don't let issues smuggle themselves into our future. We address because we're loyal to our purpose. Watch this. Here's the thing about a good friend. You can go through stuff and a great marriage, a great friend, you can go through stuff that is crazy and the world will never know. Because when you walk out good. You walk out clean. All right, it's a rough day, but the whole world don't need to know. Put your game face on. That's fake. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But there is some stuff that needs to be dealt with in private because you still got to be a mother. You still got to be a father. You still got to be whatever it is. That's why some stuff, some mess, it's dealt with right here. But you got to deal with it so that when you come out, watch this. Because some people, they don't love you to that extent. They'll never forget the things that you've done. There are things that can happen. I got friends in here. We know stuff about each other. We've been through stuff. But watch this. We respect who each other is. When you love people, you got a different level of grace for them. You need those people in your life because there's some people that only love you as great as your last hit or the last best thing that you did. But a friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. How to keep it real? Respect, encourage, address issues, disappointments, and be loyal. Stand to your feet all over the building. Is that all right? We head bowed, every eye closed. If there's somebody in here and you're not real with God in terms of being saved, and you want a real relationship with Him, you want to confess your sins, and you want to be honest with Him and say, God, forgive me, and I want to accept You as the Lord of my life, with every head bowed, every eye closed. That's you? Just lift your hand up. I'll lead you to God this morning, to His Son, Jesus. I see you. Here's what I want to pray for right here. You don't have to come to the altar. It's you at your seat. If you're struggling with being vulnerable, meaning putting all your cards on the table, in relationship, and you know that it's something in you, this message convicted you, and you say, I need to do a better job of being real there. If you're struggling with any of those, being respectful, encouraging, addressing disappointments, and being loyal, if any of those things, either you've been hurt by those or you're struggling with those, and you need the help of God this morning, just slip your hands up. We're going to pray, and God's going to do something special. That scripture says it, if you confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, you'll be healed. There's healing that's about to happen relationally. I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about with authority. I'm talking about on your career and every part of your life. God's going to do something special. Father, heal this morning. God, address faults. You know what? God, it just hit me. Earthquakes happen along fault lines. Faults may not be things that have happened yet, but there's a potential for things to happen. So, Father, we confess those things that have the potential to hurt us because we don't want to see disaster in our lives. Heal us, deliver us, bring us closer together. And, Father, if there are relationships where we should be close, where we cannot be honest and vulnerable, God, repair credibility. Let repentance and forgiveness happen. Let someone be so bold today to leave this place and go to a person they hurt and say, will you forgive me? I wasn't attentive. I wasn't the person I should be. So credibility can be built. I thank you for it now. In Jesus' magnificent and wonderful name we pray. Amen. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them, let's keep it real.